I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. This gospel is a real lulu, don't you think? I struggled with this all week long, and I was tempted to just preach on the last half of it, you know. And the Lord was saying, no, I want you to struggle with this. And I said, you said these things, you leave me to interpret it, you know. Jesus is, by this time in the gospel, he has a lot of followers, and many of them are thinking, could he be the Messiah? Is he the King of Israel? Is he the Son of God? They're beginning to understand who he is. And he's preaching, you know, and probably some of the eyes are starting to glaze over. I've had this experience myself a few times, you know. And so they're getting used to him. And so he does something very different. I often wonder what Christ would say if he were here in my place, I mean, to speak. I think he would overturn a lot of your apple carts. He'd shake us up. Maybe it's better that he hides himself a little bit. And he starts out by praising somebody who cheated. Now that gets your attention. And it's not what you expect God to do. So we have to wrestle with this and listen to it. What is God saying to us? First of all, you've got an absentee landlord. This was very common at the time of Christ. There were rich people who owned land, not unlike somebody who owns an apartment house here, only you never see the landlord. Some people wonder if he really even exists, but he sure does collect the money. In fact, most of them collected an exorbitant amount of money. They were not well liked. Sometimes they weren't even Jewish. And this owner, who was never seen in this gospel, appointed a steward who might have been a slave because he calls him a master. They had slavery that lasted 7 years. Then they'd have to free them after 7 years. Or he was an employee who was put in charge of all the master's possessions. So he had a lot of authority. Now, how does the master come to hear about this steward? He doesn't see it. He hasn't been there. It's hearsay. He doesn't know for sure if what he's heard is true. Remember, the servant's been convicted on hearsay. How often do we do that? What does the master do? He says, I know what I'm going to do. He says, what is this I've heard about you? He's trying to get the truth out. How does he do that? He says, I'm going to put your service to an end. That's when the guy gets going. And he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to win friends for myself after I'm kicked out. And he knows that the bills are inflated for the olive oil and the wheat and all the other things that this makes this plant run. And he cuts the bills. What does that do? The master can't go back and raise the bills again when he finds out, can he? He'd lose the business and would be admitting that he was charging too much. The master's stuck. And the servant, for his part, has won friends for after he is no longer employed. And Christ's point in this is that the children of this world, in other words, people that whose vision is only earthly, are often better at trading with the world's goods than we are who ought to know better, because we don't listen to what Christ is saying. God is the absentee landlord. And everyone here, everyone on earth, is a steward. We all have gifts and talents to offer. God has given us our bodies. He's given us time. He's even sometimes suffering is a talent. Our money, our possessions, our families, our employment, our hobbies. All of this, we are stewards. And some of you have a lot of responsibility in your life. Some have none. But all of us are going to be held accountable for what we did with it. And so some of the people who are stewards have convinced themselves that there is no landlord. They're convinced he's not watching. Or that he's not going to do anything to anyone. Nobody's going to be held accountable, and they do what they darn well please. But if there's one lesson that we should come away from in this gospel, it is this. Everything on earth is loaned to us. We all know this. It's basic biology. At the end of the game, we have to return all the pieces to the board. Even our bodies. Our lives are lent to us for a time. But Christ tells us he is waiting at the end of this life to give all the faithful servants possessions of their own that will last forever. This is not our permanent home. It's very important to remember that. And all of life is intended to see what choices we make, which will determine the possessions we will have forever. So our Lord tells us to pay attention, and he gives us a clue as to what to look for. Where do we find our instruction manual on where to look? Like Alan said last week, what was in the second reading? Does anybody remember? I couldn't remember myself after the 5:30 Mass. I was convicted. Am I faithful in little things? In visioning this gospel this week, I kept getting an image. It was the Lord, like he said to me, imagine everybody has a backpack. You're issued one at birth. Some people have a long time to gather gold, and some only have a little. Our backpacks are not the same size. The point is not how much you can get, but how you find it. He said, there's a lot of people in the world that go for the obvious gold. And it's very valuable in this world. Fame, excessive wealth, comfort, self-seeking, selfishness, fortune. They want to be thought well of. These are the obvious gold. Everybody has some of it in their backpack. For some people, that's all there is. Boy, they're busy collecting that gold. They find it. And the Lord praised them. They said, they know how to work this world. Unfortunately, it's fool's gold. They have to give it all back at the end. Not smart people, but at least they're trying. But the people of the kingdom of God need to know where to look, because the real gold is hidden. It's hidden in stones that do not look valuable. Christ over and over uses the profit motive for us. Today especially, he says, start looking for that gold. Where is it found? In the small things. He tells us everything on earth, with a few exceptions in our lives, are small potatoes. But that's where the gold is. I had an interesting conversation with a friend last night. He called me about 10:15. I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to answer this, you know, but I did. And it was interesting, because he called me and he said, I've known this guy for 25 years. He says, I got to ask you a question, Gary. He said, a couple nights ago, I downloaded a program on the internet, and I'm able to watch pay-per-view on the internet without paying for it. He said, is that a sin or not? He's a Eucharistic minister, lector, you know, all that stuff. And I said, if you're calling me to ask this question, you already know the answer, don't you? But that's exactly what Christ is talking about. And he was saying, well, you know, the cable company charges too much. Yes. Are you going to sin because of that? Are you going to be faithful in the little things? Do I cheat just a little bit on the income tax because I don't like the way the government spends our money? That's a given. But am I going to be a cheat? That's the question. Our lives consist of a series of tests. And I think the biggest goal really are the small acts of kindnesses we do for others. The small times I'm faithful, when I keep my mouth shut instead of complaining. And I think at the end of time we'll be very surprised at where the gold was in our lives. It is precisely in the people around us that seem so unimportant. These people that climb to the top by stepping on other people are stepping on the real gold to get the false gold that they think is important. Every good that we've done for someone else, every selfless act will come back to us in spades. Every negative and evil thing that is not repented of is a negative balance on the account, on the goods that are loaned to us. And so our Lord is waiting at the end of time with this wonderful gospel to give us, to make us masters of the household with goods that will last forever. But it all depends on this time when we are stewards and the stuff is on loan. And so we pray that our Lord will help us to recognize the value of little things, the small things that are the most important of all.